Thank you, beautiful Annie. Honestly, I always say to everyone, Annie is the cornerstone. You know, Jesus is the cornerstone, but Annie's the other cornerstone of New Hope. Seriously, nothing would happen, nothing would get done if it wasn't for Annie. So let's give Annie a big round of applause, because she's really, I don't know, she's super special. She's super, super special. And I don't like this thing being there. Sorry, I'm moving it to wherever I want. I'm really excited about talking this morning, because I was going to talk a while ago and then I got really sick. I don't even know back when that was, but the Lord's really put on my heart to speak about transformation. And then I thought leading up to this, he might have something else that he wanted me to say. But when I re-looked at it, I thought, no, that's still the same word he wants me to bring, transformation, and about transformation. And I've been challenged a lot by God recently about how am I actually transformed into the likeness of Christ. And, you know, we can think a lot about ourselves. You know, I don't know, like I try to think humbly, but I think, oh, I think I have lots of Jesus in me, you know. But I think Jesus wants even more of him in me and in every one of you. And I think it's good to be challenged by him. It's not a bad thing. It's actually an encouraging thing, because you know what? Years and years ago, a good friend pastor of mine gave me it's a quote, but it says, don't go back to what you once were when God wants you to be something that you've never been. And I had it on my fridge for, I think my whole life until I met Matt anyway, when we moved out of my house into another house. But, you know, I think that's God's catch cry to us. Don't go back to what you once were when God wants you to be something that you've never been. God constantly wants to be transforming us from the inside out. He wants us to be different to how we were, 5 minutes ago even. That's how rapidly he wants us to keep transforming into his likeness. And I guess in the light of the modern day church, I ask the question that, God, how will the world know you through us? Because honestly, I think that sometimes we look a whole lot like the world. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. Anyway, but does anyone else ever get that hunger? Like, God, do they ask that question? God, how does the world know about you through me and through the body? Because, you know, the body's made up of many parts. All of us here are the body. And it's like lately I think that, and I preached about this the first time I ever preached, that sometimes I think we celebrate preachers more than we celebrate God. And we say, oh, such and such, oh, I've got to go and see them. They're the new best thing, you know, whatever. I don't think God likes it. I think he wants us to honor that. You know, it's like awesome that God, he made people like Moses and Gideon and all that kind of stuff. But he doesn't want us chasing after that. He wants us to chase after him. Because when we're with him the most and when we are close to him the most, then we'll look like him. You know, I don't want to look like Bill Johnson. As much as I love him and I think he's awesome, I don't want to look like him. But I honor him. And I thank God for him. And Brian Houston, amazing man of God, all of them, incredible. But God has a call on each and every one of us. It's not Brian Houston's call. It's not Bill Johnson's call. It's not Cindy Jacobs' call. It's not Andrew Womack, who I love too. I get his. It's none of these guys. It's Jesus. And you know how inspired they are? Because they hang out with Jesus. These guys look a lot like Jesus. So that's why we get attracted to them. But I think when we start lifting up the name of Jesus above all other names, when we start celebrating Jesus more than anything else, that's the key. Preparing for this, I remembered about Elijah on Mount Carmel. You know, do you know that story? And you know, Elijah prays and fire comes down from heaven. Fire, that's just fire. I love that. I go, fire, come down on us. Fire, come down on us. Anyway, they're out there. And what happened? The people actually weren't looking to Elijah. like this, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. That's what they kept saying. The Lord is God. They said, we know that Baal is false. We know that everything else is false. And they just experienced God, the real God. You know, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. The reason I'm standing here today is all about Him. The reason that I hope, I pray that all of you are here is because it's all about Him. Every breath I take is totally from Him. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. I love worship. I think we could just worship forever. Because He loves us. And He loves when we love Him. So, you know, we honor Him today in this place. He's the name above all names. Do you know that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? But how will the world know Him? You know, I want to be found fearless. I want to be found fearless, not afraid of anything but God. Sometimes I think we lack a bit of fear from God. You know, I heard Francis Chan, who I really like, he talked about the fear of God and how we're losing that. You know, and anyway, that's another sermon. But it's healthy to actually fear God. It's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. Fearing God is a good thing. So I think one way the world will know, one way that there will be a sign to the world when the church is united and courageous and fearless and totally in love with each other and in love with Jesus, this will be a sign to the world. And sadly, I see that many churches, our church, all churches, they're full of fear and division. And in the way we think and in the words we say. I think we believe what we believe about ourselves. It's not what God thinks about us. You know, and it's how we think about others. It's a whole lot of stuff. Anyway, you know what? We don't have a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, that's when I gave my life to Jesus. That's what I received. That's a transforming thing. But I see so many walking around powerless without love and not with a sound mind. Those that say they've received Christ. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm going to be in trouble with all of you. But I see it. You know, I have to, when I'm filled with the love and the power of God, I can do all things. Not through Carol Prater, through the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I think we're losing some of that. And you know what? I think we truly underestimate seeing God face to face when we see Him face to face. I don't know if you ever think about it. I do. I think about it a lot. When I'm going to see Jesus face to face, I'm going to be stunned, I think. I look forward to it with great anticipation. But I want you to think about it more. What is it going to be like when you see Jesus face to face? I think we underestimate how stunned we'll actually be. I'm not saying it's a bad stunned, but it's an awesome stunned. But still, think about it sometimes. Think about that moment when you arrive in the heavenly realms and you see Him face to face. I can't wait for that day. It's my favorite day. I look forward to it. But sometimes I think we understate it. You know, when Matt and I, it's total gain to have all of Him. Anyway, I've got so much to say and so little time. But anyway, you know, when Matt and I became pastors, I had great expectations that we were going to be world changers, you know. God wants us to actually think like that. He wants us to think like that. But sometimes discouragement comes. And you go, no, well, I prayed for that person and they didn't get healed. I pray for people to get healed and not everybody gets healed. I want that to happen, but sometimes it doesn't happen. But do you know what? I should not stay in discouragement because I'm not Jesus, so I don't have all the answers, but I believe, I have faith that he's the healer. I have faith that he's going to do things to bless people. There's a process, right? But I know that's God's heart to heal. You know, it's a human condition to doubt, isn't it? You know? But you know, as reading through the scriptures, that Jesus did not bow to discouragement. Jesus did not bow to affliction. Jesus did not, he overcame everything victoriously, even death on the cross. He overcame death. Now, I hear the phrase and I use the phrase, I'm only human. I'm only human. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's really convicted me and said, no, you're supernatural. You're supernatural because the Lord doesn't want me to be, I'm only human. He wants me to be super Carol, you know, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, I can do all things. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Now, get excited. If you give ask Christ into your life, you're not the old person you were. You are a new person. And when Jesus was sent to the world, the world was in need of transformation, right? It's still in need of transformation. God did the most loving act. He sent his Jesus to die on the cross. And in that process, we too can be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, okay? But why don't we look like that? Why don't we look like Jesus? But, you know, I don't know if you remember your youth. I struggle at times. But when I was 8 or 10 or something, the school holidays seemed to last for a million years. And I would think, oh, I just can't wait to back to school. I just want to go back to school. It's so boring. You know, like there was so much good about the holidays, but time went slow. But now that I'm in my 40s, super, super, super fast time's traveling at. And in light of that, right, the Lord's saying to me, what, you know, get busy, girl. Giddy up, cowboy. Because he says, I want you to serve me with everything. You're running out of time. You know, in heaven it's going to be glorious. It's not glorious here right now. Bring glory where you go. Bring glory where you go. Be gloriously me to everyone that you meet. Be an overcomer. I want to live well for God because time's running out. I want so much to hear these words, well done, good girl. My tears, good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that? Do you? I do. I know I'm going to hear it. I know I'm going to hear it because he loves me. He loves me. I want to see that now in this generation. I'm so crazy for it. More and more change, transform, supernatural people. That's what I want to see. Oh, you know, in Thessalonians, it says this. I didn't put that on my clip, but for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. With the Holy Spirit and deep, deep conviction. Then you became imitators. You became imitators and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model, meaning you modeled Jesus to all of Macedonia and that other place that I can't pronounce. And your faith in God has become known everywhere. Come on. That is transformation. That is transformation. It even says in 1 Thessalonians 1 here, that where is it now? Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. Basically, what they're saying is, they tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Now, these people didn't even have to really talk about Jesus because they just lived Jesus. They were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were no longer, and it seems simple, doesn't it? When I crossed over, I was no longer Carol. I'm now Jesus Carol, right? I'm not Jesus. I'm Carol with Jesus in me, totally powerfully. Anyway, it seems so simple, but it is. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Where does our transformation come from? The Spirit of God. So what does being changed into the image of Christ mean? Oh, you know, I'm so proud of the people in this church. You know, Chris Case, I've got to just give him a round of applause. He's not here, but everyone give Chris Case a round of applause. You know what? For 2 days in a row, he served the poor, the homeless. But first day, Murray Lodge, nobody came to help him. He just did it himself. All honor and glory to Jesus through Chris, right? The next day, we had the barbecue. Chris organized it. He had a great team. Thank you to all those that served. You guys served there. Carol, Annie, all these people served. You know, that is a changed life. They could have been at the beach. You know, they could have done anything else, but these guys were serving Jesus. There's a cost to be transformed. It costs, not money. It costs you your whole life. You know, I guess, what does it mean to be changed into the likeness of Christ? It means people have to notice. People have to notice that you're different. And I just love using Jesus as an example. You know, when I go to New Hope Hawaii, I love Pastor Wayne's stories. He's one of my favorite storytellers, but I was preparing for this and I felt the Holy Spirit say, just use Jesus as your story. I thought, yeah, good idea, Lord. That's a great one. So I've been reading through Luke and, you know, Jesus is so strong. He's so courageous. Do you know that Jesus was the ultimate overcomer? In every situation, Jesus loves. Like, you just read the red letters. I just urge you to go and read the red letters. They've always been my favorite part of the Bible. But in every circumstance, Jesus is the overcomer. Now, I've been reading in Luke, you know, where he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, such a hard word to say. But he's there and he's about to die. Now, Jesus knew, you know, I don't think he was in any doubt that that was going to happen. But what did he do? He got down, he was literally, he asked the disciples. I love this story because every part of this story highlights the character of Jesus Christ. And he does not fail once in this story. So when they're in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's on his knees, he's crying, tears of blood, praying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours." Wow, I don't know if I was about to die for Jesus that I'd be actually praying that. But isn't he a great example to us, you know, a great example then. But not only that was Jesus was going through, he had about a million things that were going on at the same time. Peter was about to deny Christ. Peter was about to say, "I don't know you," even though Jesus had said, "You're going to deny me." And Peter's like, "Oh, Lord, I would never, ever. I couldn't think of it." And he was about to. And this is one of his best friends. His best friends. How does he handle himself? He doesn't start lecturing Peter about it. He told him, you're going to deny me, but he doesn't start lecturing Peter about it. He just told it how it was and moves on. Then he didn't even stress about it. He didn't give it a moment's notice. He just carried on. And then, I better hurry up because I've got so much to say. Then Judas, in the midst of it, another one of his friends, Judas is on the precipice of betraying Jesus. Right? Now, Jesus, what's his character like? Who does Jesus go and seek counsel from? Do you know? He goes to his father. He's crying tears of blood. Like he's not in a good place, but Father, if it's your will, not mine. The next thing, just when you think Jesus can't get any more perfect than he already is, the soldiers come to get him. Judas betrays him with a kiss, and he doesn't even slap Judas over the face. That's what I'd want to do. He doesn't. He says, so Judas, you betray me with a kiss. He doesn't even say, why are you doing this to me? Don't we talk like that? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through so much? Why this person, that? Nah. Jesus, what does he do? No, he just doesn't smack Judas, nothing. I would have smacked him. But then I think the part in all of this that just then blows me away totally, completely crazy is when the soldiers come, one of his disciples cuts his ear off. Then what does Jesus do? He rebukes his own friends and says, no more of this. Then he heals the soldier's ear. The enemy, this is crazy stuff. I mean, people, if we're changed into the image of Christ, how are we looking? No, Peter goes and denies him. Jesus sees it. Jesus doesn't point the finger at him. Nah, I told you. He just walks on by. Now, I think we forget that Jesus was fully man when he was here. You know, people like to describe it as, oh, he was, you know, this and that and the next thing. He was fully person. Like, he was fully a human being. He's the perfect human being. Then Jesus dying on the cross. What are his words? Father, forgive them. Every single part of the journey, Jesus is beautiful human being. You know, do you see the character and the love and the passion of the person of Jesus? He's not in anything for himself. He's totally not about his own life. He's totally thinking about your life, about my life. He's always thinking about others. That's what he wants us to be turned into the likeness of. Jesus was always looking to others. You know, Matt and I watched the Bible series, DVD. He talked about it a lot, I know, but I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. And I thank God that there's people out there that are making things like that, that glorify the name of God. Awesome. And it got put on National 9. It got put on a TV station that, like, in this country is unheard of. But anyway, I was so struck by the character of Jesus, the actor playing Jesus. I know he was an actor, but he carried around the person of Jesus so beautifully. And I would cry and think, oh, I actually got really convicted watching it because I thought, how nice is he? I guess what I want to say now is, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? It's someone who's had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. A person who's made a choice to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's what a Christian is. You must come and receive Christ. It's actually an act of will. You know, he chose us before we chose him, but we have to actually cross over the line. From here to there, we have to say, I will receive you, Jesus. Yes, I do. And then a change must take place. I was praying leading up to this, and I felt the Lord say, well, you should watch. I felt this come into my brain. You know, it could have been not the Lord, but it was, watch Billy Graham. And I thought, oh, that's strange. I don't think I've ever heard a Billy Graham sermon. But man, nobody preaches like that anymore. Man, he was on fire. He was totally on fire. And I was even a bit scared watching him, but in a good way. I was like, wow, we need more preaching like Billy Graham. Because he was really challenging. He was really challenging. But he said that a change, if you say you're a Christian, a change must have taken place. Something's got to be different. You must love God supremely. Love God first. How many Christians don't do that, honestly? I struggle with it myself. You know, I have to remember, I have to wake up every day and say, God, this is about you. This day is about you. This moment is about you. In Luke 10:27, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke 14, Jesus talks about the cost of being a disciple. I ask you to read it. I've read it, it's just been in our readings over the last few weeks, and it's challenging. It says things that I won't talk about now, but have a read. There's got to be a change in us, a change in our attitude of ourselves, how we think about us, a change in our attitude of others. There's got to be, the old things have gone and the new things have come. And if there's no evidence of change, then I think we've got to start evaluating, really, has anything actually happened? I'm really saying this honestly, guys. We've got to start asking ourselves. We had a lovely lady come to speak here the other night for the women and blokes listen to her. Now, she challenged that. We've got to start questioning if something's really happened. Is there a change or isn't there? Because if you have said yes to Jesus, something's got to change. And you know, Galatians 5, everyone knows it. It's actually my measuring stick, Galatians 5, about how I'm personally doing. I will be known by my fruit. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These are the measuring sticks, right? I even urge you, put that up somewhere in your house. So you can see it all the time, because that is how you'll know, am I being changed into those things? The disciples, they accepted the challenge of Christ, that if anyone should follow me, they should deny themselves and take up the cross. Now, it's unpopular to be a Christian. It is unpopular. Trust me, it comes with pain. You know, these people that say, it's a new day, it's a wonderful day. I go, man, that's not my experience. My experience is that when we say we're pastors, people go, oh, that's odd. I think, poor them, because it's awesome. But people think it's odd to be a Christian. People think it's strange. I don't mind that. I get quite excited about it, because they say, what is it about you? You have so much joy. I say, that's Jesus. You have so much love. What's that? Jesus. I don't have any of those things inside of me. It's all from him. And if you have not been transformed by the power of God, today is the day that God wants you to be. Today is the day. He says, today is a brand new day. Today is the day that you can be changed more and more like Jesus. So how do I live a Christian life? Well, Billy Graham said this, and I liked it. He said, just believing in Jesus isn't enough. And I liked that, because I think some people think it is. It'll get you saved, that's the thing. Believing in Jesus is enough for salvation. But there's another part. You know, it's like marriage. I love this analogy. Marriage is work. Right? Whoever's married here knows. It's not all the honeymoon. It's awesome being married, because I got to change. He's got to change. Things have to change for us to get on. I don't like that. I didn't like changing when I first got married. This is how I do things. Why are you doing it that way? You know? I don't know if anyone else is married and can identify, but you know, I think it's kind of like this analogy that if I only ever kept dating Matt, or if Matt only ever kept dating me, I don't know how far we'd get. I think there needs to be more. There needs to be more. And you know, it's actually, the more is the good thing. The more is the good thing. People think they're scared of the more, but the more is the good thing. It's not an easy process, changing. It's a little bit hurty, you know. That's what my kids say, it's hurting me. I go, yes, it's hurting me too. It's hurting, but it's good hurting, because it's like I'm transformed more and more into the image of God. In the midst of changing, I'm growing up. It's a good feeling. I'm not losing my childlike ways, but I'm losing my childish ways. You know, I'm getting stronger in Him. I'm overcoming more now than I could at the start. I'm laying hands on people and seeing some people healed. I believe that one day we'll see more people healed. I'm seeing our territory enlarging, not in the way that I think, but in His way. So sometimes we see like this. Sometimes we see like this. Lord, I don't see that. I don't see that changing. It's like, you can't see what I can see. We can't. He's got total perspective. We've got this kind of perspective, you know. Anyway. So to grow in Christ, you know, you start out as the tiny baby. I love babies so much. I really do. But you know what? We can't stay as babies. That He wants, it's like my beautiful Evie and my gorgeous Aaron. I just love kissing them and cuddling them and spending time with them. But you know what? God wants them to grow up too. He doesn't want them to stay as babies. He wants them to become the Evelyn that she's meant to be and the Aaron that he's meant to be. And my kids, they're not meant to stay like how they are now. But that's the salvation, which is the justification, using the big Christian words now. And then we need sanctification. What's sanctification? That's growing up in Christ. That's overcoming. That's becoming more and more and more like Jesus. We can just be we can just be justified, which means we're saved. That's okay. I just want to say that's the way in. But Jesus, He's happy for you to get over that line, but He wants so much more for you. He wants you to get more and more and more and closer to Him, because when you do, more and more and more stuff good happens. No, really. It's scary at times. I don't like getting made feel uncomfortable. I've rebelled against God so many times. But now He says, you know, now I'm sort of getting just, okay, God, right, just Your way, not my way. I get it. And you know what? It's beautiful, because I was actually a mess when I was in rebellion to God. And since I have just gotten on board with Him, on His train, on His roller coaster, I'm more at peace. Because you know what? He wants the very best for me. He wants the very best for everybody. Do you think my rebellion is going to do me any good? Is it going to do anybody else any good? No. It's rebellion against God. And I was in such a turmoil for 3 years when we first took over this church, because I was like this. I am not happy. I do not like it. I want things my way. You hear that? It's not Jesus. That's how Carol sounds. Jesus was like, come on, girl. Get on board. You're just wearing yourself out. That's it. Because when we're not on board, we're just wearing ourselves out. I'm not transformed when I'm in that rebellious place. It's like seeing the oasis, you know, in the desert. If I could have just seen the oasis, I wasn't prepared to look. I was just looking at my stuff. Ah! I just want Matt to earn lots of money and for us to drive a BMW. And it's like, God's like, what? Who cares about that? No, but that was me, you know. I was like, that's all the things I want. God's like, it's like, honey, that's not worth the paper it's written on. But, you know, that's And then when I came across the line, I was like, oh, you're so good over here. When I stopped rebelling and I was just on board, I have peace that surpasses all understanding. I have the knowledge that God wants the best for me and my kids and my family. And when the tough times come, we'll get through them. And the ultimate, what's the worst thing? The worst thing is I'll stand before Jesus, like I just said. The worst thing is I die and I leave this earth. But then that's not the worst thing, because I'll be reunited with him. But I keep getting deeper and deeper revelation through scripture lately. That's what happens when you actually press into God. It's hard. People say, I can't read the Bible, I can't pray. But trust me, that's where all the breakthroughs happen. Listening to sermons, as nice as they are and as encouraging as they are, they don't bring the breakthrough. What brings the breakthrough is that time with Jesus, just you and him. You need this too. This is an important part. I'm not discouraging this, because this is also, it's another key I'm going to put here. There's another key about being in this body. I'm getting to that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But, preparing for this, I felt like as I grow into God, as I mature, I put the silly things away. And the perverted understandings, there's so many perverted understandings of God. And I'm starting to recognize those. I start to know more fully the things that were hidden. You know, Graham Cook's a great man of God, and I'm a friend of his on Facebook. I don't know him from a bar of soap, but I know that he's a great man of God. He was a part of the church that I was a part of, and he's in America or something. But he put this quote up, and it said, revelation occurs when wisdom penetrates our hearts to the point of transformation. Revelation occurs when wisdom penetrates our hearts to the point of transformation. Revelation is the word becoming real in our experience of God. That, I can say, is true for me. When we become the truth that God's revealed, people around us will see the truth when they encounter it. And when they encounter us, sorry. People will see the truth of God when they encounter us. Now, the disciples, before Jesus died, they were hinging all their hopes on Jesus, right? But when Jesus died, they carried on the legacy of Jesus. The Bible tells us so. Peter went about healing people. The guy that I mentioned earlier that denied Christ, he then became the amazing Peter. He became the changed Peter. He became the transformed Peter. And he was saying, silver of gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee, which was healing for people. I put here, Jesus, you're beautiful beyond description. You are beautiful beyond description, Jesus. You are majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. We should stand in awe of him. But he wants to come and do something in us. You getting this? He wants to change us from the inside out. We're going to be transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. Acts, we've been reading through Acts. Anyway, that's another whole sermon. Man, these people were on fire, right? These people were totally on fire. It wasn't all good news, but it was awesome news. The book of Acts is full of all sorts of crazy things, but there's yucky bits. There's persecution, there's death, there's manifestations of the power of God. That's the part that I like the best. But sometimes we skip over that. We skip over the yucky bits and we focus on the manifestations. There was also yucky bits in the midst, you know. I'm finishing up soon, but I could talk all day. There's so much. Like, let's talk about Jesus forever. Hey? Yeah? Jesus taught the disciples a prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer, there's a line. Pray that my Father's kingdom would come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this was not a wish upon a star kind of a prayer. This was not, I really hope that could happen. Jesus actually expects us to believe that when we pray, we'd be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we could pull heaven down to earth. We can. Do you know we can? And we can be transformed by the power of Holy Spirit. We can be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not anything I can do can transform me. I need to exercise more. That could help transform me a little. But I can't transform me spiritually without the Holy Spirit. But it's actually through ordinary people like us that Jesus wants to change the world. He doesn't just want to change me. He wants to change everybody around me because of him. He wants to change cities. He wants to change nations. He wants to change everything. But you know what? We're not ordinary people. Do I get an amen to that? We are not ordinary people. We are people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow! Wow! We are unique. We have a divine calling. We have stuff to do. Good stuff. Awesome stuff. Fun, wonderful, amazing stuff. There's nothing more joyful than seeing somebody transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. If I could live like that for the rest of my day, seeing that everywhere I go, to all I meet, I will arrive in heaven like stunned when I see Jesus, but totally, oh, I get so excited about what the Holy Spirit can do if we let him. If we let him, if we open ourselves up, if we die to ourselves. Come on, can we die to ourselves? I'm just asking, it's my plea to this church. I want to say this message to everybody. Die for Jesus. Because in that you live. You live abundant. You live awesome. You live happy. You live joyful. You live totally free. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that changes us. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He's your helper. Let him help you. Holy Spirit helps you to pray. I don't feel like praying. When you don't feel like praying, pray. That's my advice. When you don't feel like reading the Bible, read it. Jesus is not coming. He's not coming to give us a new form of church. He's not coming to give us a new form of government. He's not going to give us new doctrines or truths. He's not bringing new programs. He is coming to be glorified in us. You know, sometimes we're looking for the coolest church. You are the coolest church. You. I point all your names out. You are the coolest church. Every single one of you. Carol is the coolest church. And then when we get together, that's another sermon. We need to be unified. If there's a problem between us, we sort it out. We say, hey, I love you. Whatever you think is wrong. Because I totally love you. And we're going to build this kingdom together. Because the devil comes, he tries to bring division. That is not God. God does not bring division. God brings unity. He brings freedom. He brings life. Now, the church needs to get this. You know, if you're mad at someone in this church, you need to ring them up and say, I love you. We've got to sit down and have a coffee. Because this is how the world will know. If I've got a problem with anyone here, you come tell me. I don't know that I have any. I think we're all good. But if there's anyone in here you got a problem with, you got to love them to death. You know, I'm going to love you until you say, stop loving me so much. Okay, I love you. We're fine. Okay? Yes? Yeah? We got to get over our little squabbles. Little things that, you know, people offend us. You know, I get offended all the time. I go, well, Jesus, that's okay. Sometimes I have a little cry. It hurts my feelings. But you know what? I don't dwell in that place because it's not fruitful. I go to that, if I have to, if I can't get over an offense, then I need to speak to somebody about it. Because sometimes I just need to go to my lightning rod. Pastor Wayne taught me this. It's the best thing I've ever found. He said, you need a lightning rod, someone that's older than you, someone that you can just, he uses the word vomit on. And you can just go, wah! And then they go, well, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Right, I'm finishing up. This is fun. That God is building something in this hour. You know, he's going to far exceed our expectations of the church. God's building us together. That's what I just talked about then. He's going to build us together in the holy place. He's, what am I up to? Carol, what are you doing? Right. He's building this together. He's building this together. He's building this together. God's glory is going to be revealed through us. So spend time in prayer. I'll wrap it up because you're all getting bored. Read the Bible. You cannot live a victorious life. I'm just telling you straight down the line without knowing the Word of God and studying it. You just can't. So I don't care what excuses you've got. I'm not interested. Read it. Pray. Do whatever you have to do. That's how you grow close to Jesus. That is how you grow. And you know what? He reveals himself through his word. And then I hear people say, oh, I read it, but I don't feel anything. You know, it's not. And I go, well, then you need to stop and say, Holy Spirit, break off the things that aren't helping me hear this or see it or know it. Because this is really where transformation takes place. Get the book. This isn't the book, but read the Bible with expectancy. Actually think you're going to receive something. Meditate on it day and night. I could honestly stand here all day and talk to you about everything I've been reading lately in the scriptures. It totally excites me. Luke, that's it. I read Luke and I was like, oh man, this is exciting. It's not all good news. You know, Jesus says it's not all easy for you people to get. He says that to me. Carol, I know you don't get this, but keep on. And the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit can help interpret it for you. So if you're struggling, say, Holy Spirit, I need a help. Please come. Just wait a minute. Pray. Ask him to come and help you. And you know what? We have to encourage each other. We have to equip one another. People, I think, look to Matt and I to do that. We aren't possibly, we're only human beings, right? Supernatural human beings, but you need to get alongside each other and empower and equip one another. Those that are weaker, go to the ones you see as stronger and ask for help, right? Okay. You've got to renew your mind constantly with the Word of God. It takes discipline. It takes self-control. And the part was I was getting back to, Hazel, is you need the church. Because you cannot live a solitary Christian life. I'm just telling you, you can't. That's why Jesus' model is best. He had his disciples. He had the people around him. Jesus actually needed them because they were the ones to take the message on. We need each other. We're so important to each other. If we could just get that, we need to so love each other. Invite each other out for dinner. You know, like ring each other up and say, just come over, just hang out for the sake of it. You know, you don't have to read the Word of God. Just be friends. Become friends. So I'll just close because I've got so much more, but you know, how do you witness? By the way you live. Be kind. That guy that came a few weeks ago, he said, you know, be generous. Be thoughtful towards others. Be courteous when you're with the girls at the shops and they're not doing things right. Be super kind and super loving and super understanding. Smile more at people. Be gracious. What does a transformed life look like? It looks like Jesus, but you know, the disciples, they actually were expecting a different kind of kingdom. And I think, you know, You can go and research that. But when Jesus came, they were expecting it all to be different to how it all turned out. And I think we sometimes have that expectation. They thought, wow, this Jesus has come. We're going to have a kingdom and we're going to be really high up in the kingdom. And you know, did Jesus come? He was the servant to all. They weren't going to be high up in any kingdom. They were going to be the servant of all. But you know, they were flawed in their thinking, the disciples, when they were thinking that before Jesus died. But afterwards, they got it. Right? They got it afterwards. They thought, oh, hang on, we get it now. But Jesus had told them beforehand, you know, about the landowner and the miners and, you know, if you get 10 miners, you know, which is a form of money, what are you going to do? You know, they came back and he'd invested the money and he made a massive amount. And then what did Jesus say in the story? You will be master of 10 cities. And of course, in their thinking, if I heard Jesus say that to me, I'd go, wow. But it wasn't the way they thought. What happened is Jesus was saying, you have to steward what I've... A steward's a Christian, you know, very Christian word. But you have to steward what I've given you well. Now, when you've received Christ, we've got to steward that well. We've got to handle our transformation well. He taught them that correctly stewarding what God puts in our hands increases our influence over all humanity. That's not to make us big. That's to make him glorified in all things. Going from a servant to a governor is quite a promotion, right? Well, you know, to a prime minister that promotion actually comes through the influence of the King of Kings. Really, to be honest, I like that promotion. It's not worldly promotion. Anyway, this really is the last bit now. You know, darkness is increasing in the world. It really is. But you know what? So is the glory of God. So is the glory of God. And you know what? Darkness cannot drown him out. As darkness increases, so does the light. And you know who's meant to bring the light? Us. So we've got to keep being constantly transformed. I wish that it was just a one-day event and then that it was all over. And I didn't have to do another thing. But just like my house needs to be regularly cleaned, which I find annoying, so does my spirit. And it's the same of our hearts. We need to constantly renewing our hearts and cleansing our hearts. And Romans 12:12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is his good and perfect and acceptable will. So I'm just asking you guys today, I could talk for another hour, but I'll just leave it there. But I just ask you that if you feel that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you when we've been praying, and the worship team can come back up and sing my favorite song, Offering, if that's okay. You know, that song starts out with magnificent Holy Father, I stand in awe of you. If while I've been speaking, God's spoken to you, and you feel like you want more of the transforming power of God, or if you want to be empowered more to get closer to that, then I just ask you to stand so I can pray for you. So if you want more of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, I just ask you to stand so that I can pray for you. And we're going to ask Jesus to come and touch us.
I came to this church about 6 months ago, was baptized here, received the Holy Spirit, and I was suffering at the time from asbestosis here, very painful, breathing was difficult, and I was healed here in this church by the fullness of the Holy Spirit that came within. Since then, I've learned that the power of the Holy Spirit, which for years I was a lukewarm Christian, never reading my Bible, but going to church, putting my offering in, going home, feeling good for the rest of the week. Thought I was walking in Christ, but I wasn't walking anywhere. I was walking backwards. And what I'd like to say this morning is, since I was baptized here in this church, the love of God within me, I don't think of the Holy Spirit that's within me, because although He hasn't said anything to me in words, He's told me so many different things. On Thursday, I was 80. And I'm still up on people's roofs and things, still doing things. I finish work after 8, 9, or 10 hour day. I come home and the feeling is, I am sufficient for you. And I think, wow, will I get any rest? But you don't need rest because He's filling me up. And you know, honestly, truthfully, I know it might sound silly, but when I read my Bible, I read how I read my Bible. And I read one at night, one in the morning. The one at night is the Old Testament. One in the morning is the New Testament. I read the New Testament. I pray intercessory prayer and prayer for healing with people of a nighttime. In the morning, I have fellowship with Him before I go to work. And, you know, I feel I work a 6-day week. And every day He is with me. I go to pick up a piece of wood and I feel He's saying, yes, it goes there. I know. I've been doing this for 60 odd years. But there's no such thing as a problem. And every day, honestly, truthfully, every day, I'm thinking of Him all the time, not just when I'm sitting down having lunch or something like that. He's with me the whole time. And I think, I'm glad you've got me. I'm glad you've got me. And, oh, praise the Lord. But I think of Him and think of Him, and I'm getting stronger and stronger. And, you know, the love that was coming from Him would make my eyes pour water. And I said, take me now. And the feeling was, no. There's a lot I want you to do yet. So walk close. And it's not, don't think of it as the Holy Spirit within you. Think it of the Lord Jesus Christ within. And then He will add to you. He will give you every day, say, bless me more indeed. And He will. He will give you wealth. He will give you cars. He will give you houses because you're His children. And what does a parent do for the children? Gives to the children. Yes, He will give you everything. Ask Him. Don't just think you're not going to get anything. Ask Him. Crikey, if I was asking my father and He didn't give me anything, I'd think, yuck, you know. Yeah, ask Him and He'll give it. He'll give it. He wants to give it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dennis. He does want to give it. He does want to give it. That's the truth. And I just, as Dennis was sharing, I felt the Lord say that we're actually citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of this world. And He just wants to speak that over you today. It's a new identity, knowing that you're a citizen of heaven and not a citizen of this world. So Father God, I thank you for those that have stood. Father, I pray for your transforming power to just touch each one that have stood. God, I pray for an absolute transforming moment, God, in each of these dear ones. Father, come. come in power like a fire that would sweep through them. Father, I pray for new revelation, new wisdom, new overcoming spirits. Just, Father, I pray that whatever is preventing them from stepping more and more into what you've called them to do, Father, I pray that right now in this moment, something amazing would happen. Father, touch them. Increase them in every way of your kingdom. I pray that they would be increased. Father, thank you so much for what you're going to do in their lives. Father, each one is unique to you, is loved by you. Each one is known. You know the head, you know their heads and the hairs on their heads by number. Father, I pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit right now. Encourage them in you, Father. I pray, Lord, that there would be a deep desire that comes from this morning in their hearts and in their spirits, a deep desire to serve you, to give their lives for you, God. There's nothing more precious than that. God, you love us so much. Like this song, you gave your life for me. What more could we do, God, but give our lives back to you? Father, everyone has a unique calling, whether it's in their workplace, whether it's in their home. God, I pray that you would set them on fire for the things that you care about. So Father, come in power. Come in power now, I pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your touch. Lord, I pray that this would be such a change that we would not be the same. That we would be changed from the inside out. Lord, glorify yourself through each and every one. Glorify yourself in power. Thank you, Father. I just feel that there's people here that need healing. It could be healing for thoughts, maybe. That's what comes to mind. Thoughts that you think about yourself, or thoughts that someone else has spoken over you. I just feel if there's anyone here, it could be physical healing too, that if you have anything that you need healing for, we would love to pray. The prayer team would love to pray with you. Even if you just want to pray, have a prayer of blessing, I just invite you to come. But I just thank you all for being here, and I pray God uses you more and more to glorify him. Thank you. We'll just worship now. So come out the front if you want prayer.